I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey listeners, thank you so much for listening to the Liverbird Sailing podcast, and a special thank you to my Patreons who are supporting the show on a monthly basis. If you find value in the show, please consider joining this lovely group of people. Just check out the link in the description or go to patreon.com/Liverbird Sailing Podcast to see some extra content and behind the scenes updates. Now, on with the show. Here's what's coming up next.
I think what I hope our inspiration is to people is that, you know, we don't have a lot of sailing experience, but we jumped right in. But the thing that has made it less intimidating is that there is such a great community of people who are very knowledgeable and willing to share.
Welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Annika. On the Liverboard Sailing podcast, I chat with awesome people who live, work, and travel on their sailboats. My guests share inspiring stories and real-life advice about the lifestyle so that you and I can be better prepared for our sailing adventures. Today we are talking about a new topic that we haven't talked about yet, and that is buying a brand new boat. My guests are Aaron and Janet, who decided to upgrade their existing Genoa to a brand new one. We talk about what the process for purchasing a new boat is like, what kind of things the prospective owners can have input on, when does money exchange hands, and more. Now here is my chat with Aaron and Janet. Why don't we get started by just talking a little bit about your story? Like, how did you get into the sailing lifestyle in the first place?
So we're thinking about that, and it was, we started, I guess we went on a couple of vacations to Florida and went on some sunset cruises on sailboats. And we, the second time we went, we rented an Airbnb that was on the water, and we saw some sailboats out that were anchored or moored outside of where we were staying. And Aaron says, wow, what a cool idea that you could just, instead of being in here in the Airbnb on land, you could actually just be on a boat. And so when we first chartered, you know, the cruises, we were thinking, wow, it'd be fun to just, you know, charter boats when we come down. And so we kind of were just kind of bouncing around the idea of either chartering a boat for a vacation or possibly, I guess, later came up with the idea that we would just buy one.
Yeah. And actually what, and that was in July, and we were sitting at the Airbnb looking out at the water, and
In 2020.
So July of 2020, beginning of COVID, we had this idea and we came back home and we said, let's take sailing lessons. So at the beginning of July, we made that decision. And by the end of July, I think we were registered for sailing lessons and going through the process.
And We loved the sailing classes. They were, you know, some classroom instruction and some getting out on the water. We were sailing on a Janot, was it a 37?
It was
379.
Yep.
So it was a pretty good size sailboat that we were learning on, and we were really enjoying it. And we started shopping for boats during the class time. I mean, in between, there was a few sessions over the course of a month of sailing school. And on the off days, we started shopping for boats.
By the time we completed our training classes, or the ASA 101, 103 classes, we were also closing on our first boat.
No way. Wow.
We actually closed on our boat the day of our last class.
Yeah.
It had come into the sailing school is also a marina and yacht sales place, Norton Yachts. And they had a boat come in on trade that we saw when we were in class, and we fell in love with it and made an offer on it. And it was literally the last day of class that afternoon. We closed on the boat, and that was it.
Wow, that must be the fastest turnaround I've heard. That's great. What an inspiration, buying a boat while you're still finishing up your course. But of course, what was the boat that you then bought?
It was a Sun Odyssey 379, similar to the one that we were learning on in the sailing school. And it was a 2012, so it was 8 years old. It had one previous owner, hadn't been sailed a lot, so it was in really good condition. A very nice first boat for us to have.
And I was able to rationalize the price of it based off of the price of a charter. Now, kind of, I had to justify it to myself that, yes, this totally makes sense. When in all reality, it probably doesn't make sense. But we just kind of jumped in and got started with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but that's a good point, because I've also looked at charters, and especially if it's just two people, they do add up in price quite a bit, because you easily end up paying $10,000, and then you do it long enough or often enough, you end up paying for a boat.
And that was another justification for us as well, because if you do charter, you don't get to learn as much. And so having our own boat, it did let us learn like immediately on day one that we have to figure this stuff out.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And where did you sail with the first boat as you finished up your sailing courses?
So we closed on it on Friday, and Saturday morning we took it out to anchor overnight all by ourselves. People thought we were crazy.
Well, only one way to learn.
We had never anchored a boat before, other than we, you know, during class, we dropped the anchor and pulled it back up. Just that was the only experience we had anchoring a boat.
Yeah.
So we took it out. We sailed about 14 nautical miles to Little Bay. So from Deltaville to Little Bay, it was actually sailing on the Chesapeake. Got to the anchorage, used the charts to navigate there, found the anchorage, and used the depth gauge to figure out, you know, a good spot to anchor, and drop the anchor.
And from that point on, we were on the boat every single weekend until, I think it was till we pulled it out of the water in the December time period for the winter.
Yeah, so we got a lot of time on the boat that first season.
Yeah. Oh, so they keep boats in the water until December in that area.
So
we actually wanted to hold on to it as long as we possibly could. Mm-hmm. And so, we were one of the last ones to go out or to come out of the water, and then one of the first ones to go back in the spring.
Some people do winterize their boats and just leave them in the water for the season. You can also pull them out to winterize. And we didn't really know much about it. And a lot of people we had talked to were, oh, yeah, you pull your boat out. So that's what we did.
Yep.
Just, you know, learning as we go. So
it must have been a lot of learning in that first few months of sailing. And then you had to put it away and then come back to it again in the spring to start sailing again. And at some point along the story, I know that there is a new boat that enters the picture.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. What was that process like? When did you realize, like, actually, let's upgrade And where did you get the idea? Did you go to a boat show by any chance and see some gorgeous boats as one does?
We put the boat back in the water in March. The first boats they put back in the water that in the spring. And then they had the Janot, what was it?
It was the Get to Know Janot presentation they had just at the local marina.
Some boats on display.
So we just stopped by to say hi and look at the boats. And we were thinking about it. We walked into this model, the boat that we're on right now, mm-hmm. and just kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah. It was a little bit bigger. So we were in a 379. This one's a 440. So about, 6 feet longer and a lot wider. And it felt much more spacious, a little more headroom. And it was new. It was actually the same place we purchased our first boat from that was hosting this event. And the owner of the marina, he said, hey, I'll buy, our other boat's name was Traveler. He's like, I'll give you what you paid for Traveler toward the new boat. And we were like, okay. And we just kind of said it. And then after we said it, we kind of liked the way it sounded. And we just continued to move forward with the process.
But we knew. So we were on the boat the previous season, and we were planning to spend as much time on the boat as possible. There were some things with that particular model. I'm over 6 feet. I was hitting my head constantly. The sleeping berth was for us in the rear of the boat. It wasn't the easiest thing to get into and out of. Kind of cramped all the way around.
Yeah.
And, hey, people say that's what a sailboat should be, right? That's kind of what sailboats are. But when we saw this boat, we said, hey, there is a way that you can have a sailboat and be comfortable as well.
Yeah, the front berth is very spacious. You can stand in there, a good foot over your head when you're standing. And you can, sit up on the bed and not hit your head on the ceiling.
Yeah.
So it feels much like, very much like a small condo.
For sure. And that's so true. Like, you don't have to be uncomfortable on a boat anymore. Like, yes, if you go on a small boat or you go on an old boat, probably going to be a little uncomfortable. But boat design these days, they're beautiful, these newer boats, and so spacious. Like, the design that they've made and how they use the space, it's just all kind of optimized for comfort and living. And I'm curious, is your goal now to spend even more time on it, or are you still planning on putting it away for the winter and then coming back in the spring?
No, we're going to stay on it. We've actually wanted to spend more time on it this summer. We were planning on spending most of the summer on anchor. We have spent a good amount of time on anchor and in the water, but we've had to kind of work with our marina because there was some, commissioning items and warranty items that they still needed to get done. So we had to kind of coordinate our schedules so that they would have time on the boat without us on the boat to complete some of those items. So that's been a little frustrating, having to accommodate that and get that done. But our goal is that everything is done by the end of next week, so that after the sailboat show, we can be free to just stay on the boat and take it to Florida and the Bahamas. So we're planning on being in the water all winter and not pulling it out.
Oh, that is very exciting. But let's talk about that process, because that is something I have a lot of questions about. Because from what I know about purchasing a new boat, that there is quite a lot of a lead time, at least for a certain boat time. So you have to wait for quite a while. And in general, what is that process like? So you use kind of a local representative, but obviously the boat is made in France, being a Janot. So how does that work? How much input can you have into things?
Yeah, so when we looked at the boat, the dealership here, they're a dealership and they have their own marina. So they already had this boat on order. So they had it slotted into the production schedule. Mind you, I think we were in the April or May time period. This boat was supposed to begin production in September. So later that year, and then also to be delivered, I believe, in the February time period.
February, March.
Right. February, March time period. Mm-hmm. So we actually placed the order, or we signed onto it and said, this is going to be our boat in the production schedule. And I think that was the May time period. So we had from May until September that we met with the dealer and kept going through the different options that were available to be added.
Wait, so the boat was ordered, but as there's a boat of 440 being made, but we got to select really everything in it. It was like buying a new home. So we got to pick the wood, the flooring selection, the cabinetry, everything. We got to pick which, boards or colors that we wanted, the fabric on the cushions, how many cabins we wanted, how many berths we wanted.
The sail package.
Everything we got to custom pick. It was just, he had said, I'm getting a 440. And then we, from when we placed the order till when they finalized it in September, was when it was going to be all set in stone going into production. We had that time. So we met with them several times. We went over the whole laundry list of what the options were, made selections, and we would meet with them again a month later and be like, okay, no, we changed our mind on this. We want this instead. And, generator, extra refrigerator, all kinds of options. And it was a little overwhelming, but they were really, really good to work with and, flexible. And, we just kept going over the list and making sure that our final decision was what was on the order.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and how did you even know? Obviously you have a list of things to choose from, but how do you go about prioritizing, and not saying yes to everything? Did you have a chance to visit some other boats to see how things look, or what was your process for that like?
So we were able to see another boat of the same model and just kind of get a feel of it. Mm-hmm. But we did a lot. We put a lot of trust in the dealer and used his experience to recommend, this is something that you want to have put in at the factory. And, this other option is something you might want to do afterwards and make sure you know how you want the boat configured after you've been on it for a little bit of a time.
Yeah, we really relied on his expertise to guide us. He had, 20, 30 years of sailing experience with different boats, and he was very knowledgeable in terms of like the anchor and the sails and things that we were going to want and to prepare, because we had communicated we were looking at long-term cruising and living on the boat. And so we wanted to make sure we were set up for that situation.
For that situation, yes. We did not go overboard with, let's say, lithium and solar panels and all of that stuff straight from the factory. And I think rightfully so, they were able to save us money up front by saying, hey, prices are coming down on these particular items, the electronics and that type of thing. So go ahead and use what comes with the boat standard. Mm-hmm. Use that up for a couple of years. And then as prices go down on some of these other features, add them later.
Right. Oh, that's very nice. Nice of them to share that and have that inside information as well. But what were some of the things that you decided to add based on your cruising plans and kind of spending more time on the water rather than, just a weekend cruiser type thing?
The biggest thing was the generator, I think. That was the biggest thing we definitely wanted to make sure that we had was a generator, so that if you weren't at a dock hooked up to power, you still had the ability to run the air conditioner or, use the electricity on the boat.
Yeah. And this boat comes equipped as I'll call it in air quotes, like a coastal cruiser. So it is equipped for longer weekends out of the box. And I think, that's how we've used it and up to this point. Mm-hmm. And the new additions that we're going to put on it, such as the solar, a potential water maker when we go down south, those will be some of the items that will really turn it into the longer term cruiser for us.
We did also add the refrigerator, though. We have the main refrigerator in the galley is nice because it's some of the boats, I don't know if you've seen, they have where you open the counter and you reach down into it. We have just a regular, it's like a little bit bigger than a mini fridge where it opens, it's front access to it. So it's got all the shelves and it has a small freezer in there. And that's really nice. But then we added an extra freezer. So we didn't go with the three cabin layout. We went with it's two cabins. And then the where the third cabin would have been is actually a garage space. So it's extra storage. And we also have an extra refrigerator freezer in that room so that we have a larger capacity, you know, for longer term cruising to store, you know, and freeze more food so that it kind of helps with longer term provisioning.
Yeah, that makes sense because things like that are much harder to install after the fact compared to something like electronics or solar panels. You can upgrade and change those quite easily, but you know, try to put a fridge or a freezer in there as an afterthought, that's a different story.
And that was the biggest things, I think.
Yeah, for sure. That extends the cruising comfort and then just the ability to go a little bit further, for sure. But what ended up being the timeline for it? Were there any delays or did you got it right on schedule from France?
No. So, mind you, all of this was taking place during the middle of COVID and a lot of the supply chain constraints. And we did start receiving stories about
potential delays
and for specific things. The manufacturer was having problems with the diesel motors, just getting diesel motors. So similar to other industries, they were building boats and then would have to come back and drop in the motors at a later time. And so I think, but overall, our delivery date, we started out in the February or March time period, and it finally did come in late April or early May.
It left the factory about a month after we thought it was going to be here, and it took a month. We tracked it. We were able to track it on radar. We knew the name of the ship that it was on, and it was in... Where was it, in France or Spain? We were able to track its progress over the Atlantic Ocean. It went up to New York, and then it went to
the Chesapeake.
It went down the Atlantic Ocean, and then it went up the Chesapeake to Baltimore. And when it got to Baltimore, they put it on a truck, and they drove it on a flatbed truck from Baltimore down to Deltaville, which is about 160 miles. So we knew the day that it was put on the truck that it was coming, and we were able to be down in Deltaville and see it actually be delivered and taken off of the truck. And we have a video of that on our YouTube channel. Yeah. That's been a very popular video. It's kind of exciting to see. It was very, very exciting to see that boat come in after waiting for it for literally over a year. And to see it actually in person come in on the truck and have them take it off the truck and put it in the yard. Still wrapped in plastic, but it was just so exciting to, you know, finally physically see what we had just imagining was going to look like. So that was a really exciting day.
Oh, I bet it was. And just finally getting to that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
That point. You said it was a little over a year, all in all, from when you said, yes, we're doing this, signing papers to actually get in the boat.
Mm-hmm. Right. So actually getting it into the yard, but then the commissioning process took at least a month. You know, they had to assemble the boat, essentially. The mast wasn't on it. It was wrapped in plastic. They had to, do some assembly, putting the mast on it and what else did they have to do?
Final installation of all of the electronics, the big checkout of all the different systems. Then they have to put the bottom paint on.
Yeah.
And you know, just, it's, they had to, it's basically some assembly required when it comes into the yard.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think of that. But of course, that makes sense because you naturally have the North American electronics, even though it's a European built boat, I take it that it's all, you know, European or North American voltage and all these things.
Right.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. So that took about a month. So were you still able to, in that month when it was being commissioned, were you still able to, like, was it yours already or was it still like, it's almost
so hard. We didn't actually close on the boat until the commissioning was done. They made sure everything was working. They tested the systems, the motor. We took it. We were able to go with them for the shakedown sail or
this initial sea trial.
We were able to be here quite a bit of the time. They communicated with us when they were doing certain projects, and we were able to come down and get some great video of them putting the mast on the boat and, you know, splashing it in the water and some of the other things. And we've shared a lot of that on your YouTube channel so that, you know, we just thought that was kind of a cool process that most people don't get to see how really it works. And so it was fun to be able to share that. And like I said, the marina here, the, you know, yacht broker was really great with communicating, you know, when those things were happening so that we could witness it, yeah. I guess.
And so there's some things in the commissioning process that we actually chose to do on our own or have not been part of the actual marina. Mm. And one of those big things for us was the canvas.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's an option when you buy a boat, you can actually go with the canvas that comes standard from the factory. Or many times, and it seems like the more prevailing thing that people do, at least here in the States, is you do custom canvas. So the boat comes, it doesn't have your Bimini top, your Dodger and all that type of thing. So we chose to take the boat prior to take delivery on the boat from the commissioning process prior to the canvas being done, because we wanted a certain manufacturer or a certain supplier to go ahead and add that to the boat, because we had seen his work in the past. And we just liked it.
Yeah. So just to clarify, the people that do the canvas on the boats typically in Deltaville live in Deltaville. And so part of the commissioning process is putting the canvas on before you close on your boat. But because we selected someone who didn't live in Deltaville, the custom canvas place that we chose was up in Annapolis, which is 120 miles from here. And so we had made arrangements that we would close on the boat without the canvas, but then sail it up to Annapolis without canvas. And we stayed up there for the whole month of June while they put the canvas on it. And we lived on the boat, and the canvas maker came every week to do the different steps of the process of putting the framework on and then doing the Dodger and the Bimini and all the steps. That it was kind of fun to watch that too. But we got to actually be in the middle of the commissioning process and take it a little early because we had opted to do that. And it was nice that we had the flexibility to use someone other than who they typically use, because we were really in love with the work of this other canvas maker. And so it was great that we were able to have that option.
Yeah. Oh, that's really, really special to be part of that, the whole process. And you mentioned something that you didn't close on the boat until it was there. So just a practical question then, at what point does money exchange hands? Is it only like, do you put down a deposit when you say you want it, and then you pay the rest once it's there, you've approved that everything's as it should be?
I'm sure different dealers will have different arrangements. Mm-hmm. Ours was partly the trade-in of the other boat. We use that as part of the down payment. But when we actually made the paperwork arrangements up front, so at April, or I think it was April, May time
period. When we first said we want the boat, we put down a deposit.
We did put down a deposit. It wasn't the biggest deposit in the world, but we also were sailing on our previous boat.
That we were trading in.
That we were trading in. So we had the entire summer and the entire season on our previous boat. Right. At the end of the season, we traded it in. And then that was the other part of the deposit mm-hmm. for the boat as well.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, that's such a clever arrangement and allowed you to keep sailing throughout a whole summer, another summer. So you didn't have to just be boatless for another sailing season. Earlier, you mentioned something that you're still kind of getting ready to get going because of some warranty issues and that kind of things that have held you in the marina. So, you know, everybody that I talk to always say everything breaks on boats all the time, every day. So is this the case on new boats as well?
I would say new boats are more like a new house. Mm-hmm. So I think if you go into a new house and expect everything to be perfect, most people know that it's just not going to be perfect. And I think it's the same thing with a boat. Mm-hmm. It's not that things break on a new boat. I think it's more of we're inspecting the initial build quality and just finding, you know, some of the things that may need to be tweaked mm-hmm. Throughout the entire process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, when you say things break on boats, that is true, but you know, things do go out, things do wear out. If you think about the systems that we have on the boat, we're pumping water, you know, constantly from the holding tank into, you know, the sinks, the faucets, the showers, and everything. The oven, the stoves that we have, the refrigeration systems. Everything that we have in the boat is very similar to, let's say, an RV or even, let's say, a home. Mm-hmm. The big difference is we're in constant motion when we're out sailing, and these systems are being tossed and turned and just beat sometimes in heavy waves.
Crashing in the waves.
So yeah, things will tend to wear and break over time. Mm-hmm. The thing about it on a boat is you need to repair them when they do happen. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's, if they go out, you don't want to have 10 things that you have to do all at once. You want to keep up with that general maintenance. We do have some friends that, you know, they actually go through and inspect. They open up the cabinets and the floorboards and do an inspection. And recently they found a leak that they had and had to do that quick repair. And it was just a clamp that had failed over, you know, 10 or 15 years. Fortunately, they had the spares and were able to do a quick fix on it. But yeah, things do break. Mm-hmm. I would say on the new boats, I don't anticipate them breaking as quickly, but eventually they will.
Yeah, there's always a little something to fix, if not full-on repair. Just, you know, tweak a little bit here and there, or upgrade and add. And, you know, there's always something to do.
And that's where we're at is, that's one of the reasons that we also kind of went into a new boat, is because we didn't want to spend all of our time fixing just to be able to get it out into the water. But we're in the phase of adding. Right. And so that's going to be a lot of the major projects that we have going on.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, yeah, you kind of have like an empty canvas to work on and just add your own things, including canvas, that you want to make it yours and, you know, fit your lifestyle and your goals. So that it sounds kind of exciting. You know, you get to choose everything, you know, and you don't have to worry about curse the previous owners of, you know, gosh, why did they do it this way? Why did they choose this color?
Right.
Yeah, we're stuck with our own choices.
Yeah, we're
no one to blame but yourself now. So having gone this new boat purchase process quite recently, would you have any tips for anyone who is thinking about purchasing a new boat? You know, the boat show season is starting is on as we speak. So yeah, maybe there's some listeners who are thinking of purchasing a boat. So any tips or anything to look out for? Yeah.
I think a big one that I think is, you know, we love our boat, but we've met a lot of people who maybe have different brands of boats and there's different features on other boats. And for us, we kind of jumped right into the Janot with our first boat during sailing classes. And then we, you know, jumped into trading this one in for another Genoa, and we hadn't really even looked at any other brands. And so there are different features on other boats, some that we like, oh, wow, that would have been nice to have, you know, and it's not that we don't love our boat. It's just, I think that we maybe didn't do a thorough job of looking at all of the options before making our decision. And so, you know, we're not unhappy with our decision, but we do know that what I would recommend to other people is, you know, really make a list of what's important to you and look at, you know, 2, 3, 4 different brands of boats to compare and contrast features, especially for someone like us who is so new to sailing and we didn't really know what some of those options even were, right? I mean, we just thought, oh, it's like a boat is a boat, a car is a car. But it's like there's a lot of different things that and different design options that some of the boats do as well. But we chose this one because it's, you know, known for its good cruising efficiency. It handles well in the water. It's great for long term. But again, there are other boats that give those options and maybe have some other features that maybe, you know, we would have enjoyed as well, you know. But I guess that would just be my biggest tip is just, you know, look at more than one brand and compare and contrast what's most important to you.
Yeah, and just to add to that, some of the different features that you look at in a boat is the actual design of the boat. You know, do you want the actual blue water, you know, capable boat, you know, with tagged blue water? If it's tagged with the blue water, it's designed differently. Mm-hmm. It has different features. It's almost, you know, they make them almost bulletproof, but those also come at a bigger cost as well. Mm-hmm. So there's pros and cons to everything. And just take, you know, I truly would recommend, like Janet said, explore the different options. Find out what you really want to use the boat for, mm-hmm. what you want it to do, and then look around it from that perspective mm-hmm. at the different options from manufacturers, boat designs, etc.
Yeah, those are really good tips because, of course, you need to think about where you actually want to take it. Because if you are heading to the Caribbean versus if you're heading to Cape Horn, that's a slightly different kind of boat. So good to know where you intending to head in the next little while, of course. But you guys have been, you know, living the sailing lifestyle now a little while on a previous boat and now on a new boat. So what do you like about the lifestyle? What got you into so invested that you got a new boat that you just want to stay on and sail on further south?
Right. Well, so, I mean, the sailing on further south, the appeal for that is being on the boat longer, not putting it away, and also enjoying warmer weather. So that's the big appeal of that. But being on the boat, just being on the water, we really enjoy being out on the water and also just being able to move from place to place. You know, we're still working remotely, but changing, you know, it's not like going to your lake home and you go to the same exact spot every week and you have the same view every week. We can actually move and check out different towns and get a different scenery. You know, it's always on the water, but it's always different. You know, you have the different places you go to. It's kind of new and exciting. And we were talking about it last week. You know, we spent the week on the boat working remotely, but it felt like we'd been on vacation. You know, we had moved the boat to 3 different locations within a week's time, and it was just waking up to beautiful sunsets or sunrises and beautiful sunsets in the evening, and just, you know, very relaxing to be on the water. And it just felt like we were on vacation, even though we had just worked the whole week. Yeah. So that was what it's just a different way to approach life.
And the other thing to it is the community that's out there for the sailing
yes.
community.
Definitely.
We've met so many friends both at our marinas, but then also while out on anchor. There's so many genuine people that are just out there to help, right, as well. They've had different experiences. They have a lot of knowledge and are willing to share it.
And yeah, so I would say don't be afraid to jump in. I think what I hope our inspiration is to people is that, you know, we don't have a lot of sailing experience, but we jumped right in. But the thing that has made it less intimidating is that there is such a great community of people who are very knowledgeable and willing to share. I mean, when you meet someone else who's been sailing for a long time, they are more than happy to give you what they know tips wise and what works and doesn't work. And, you know, you take all the information that you get and then figure out which advice you want to go with. But like Aaron said, it's just the community of people that support that's out there. It's a nice niche, a group of community, but it's so welcoming and inviting.
And the other thing about it, from me being a little geeky about it, is I love the fact that we can be basically in our home, out on the water, and we're self-contained. You could actually you generate your own power. You can generate your own water if you need to. And living efficiently, you have to live efficiently when you're on a sailboat. The idea is to live efficiently when you're on a sailboat. and, you know, I just love that concept that you can actually do that. And when we go back to our small condo, at the end of a sailing session for us, mm-hmm. we walk into this small condo and we're like, this is huge. This is so much space. And we realize how much water we actually use when we take a shower at home versus when you take a shower on the boat.
But how much space, you know, we have the condo at home that we're working on getting rid of, but it's a lot more space than we need. And so we've realized being on the sailboat, I mean, even when we're at home, we're always in the same room together. It's just, you know, we don't need all that extra space. There's a lot of you know, extra things we don't need and space that we're not using. So there's plenty on the boat, and it's a little, in some ways, a little easier to manage.
Yeah, I think living on a sailboat is definitely a little more intentional. And I've talked to a couple of people who've kept their house, you know, a 3-4 bedroom house, and then went sailing. And then they've ended up selling the house because they said there's no way they're going to go back to that big of a house. There's no way they'll need that much space ever again.
That's right. And that's what our goal, that's our next step is, just we're in the process now of deciding the timing and letting go of the condo and trying to do that while we're trying to sail south.
And we're doing it while I'm still working full time as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a lot going on. So you're able to work fully remotely then, just using internet that's available?
Yeah. And COVID really opened the door for that back mm-hmm. in 2020. And, you know, where I'm at right now, a lot of my work is done remotely. We do have additional Wi-Fi set up, or cellular service set up on the boat itself. We are looking into the Starlink as well for the satellite communication. But yeah, a lot of the work can be done remotely. And if I need to travel, I just need to be able to make it to an airport somewhere.
Yeah, that's really good to hear. I love hearing from people who are doing essentially what I hope to be doing, which is also working from a boat remotely. And everything that you described of, like, you know, feeling kind of feel like on a vacation, even though you're just, you know, working and living your normal daily life, it's just very different when you're out there on the water.
And it's not all sunrises and sunsets.
No, good reminder.
There is the rough weather, but again, like I think you had mentioned, it's very intentional.
Right.
And so you do have to know what you're getting into and be willing, you know, to put up with that. There can be some sleepless nights when the weather is bad, but
I will say the other thing for me, I'm very, very fitness conscious, and I had a very, very, you know, routine workout program that I did at home before we were ever on the boat. And we were also heavy into road cycling. So we did some century rides and very active riding our bicycles. And that's a challenge right now, you know, to kind of rethink fitness on the boat. And so, you know, we've played around with the idea of bringing our bikes on the boat and how would we get them to the shore so that we can continue cycling, because we do still enjoy cycling, but also working out. And so coming up with new routines to stay fit on the boat, you know, we have the paddleboard and we get to shore and we go on walks. And then I have some, you know, resistant bands and some weights that I do on the boat. But it's just really coming up with a whole new routine to kind of fit the new lifestyle. So it's making that conscious decision that we really like this lifestyle, but we don't want to give up some of the other things that we're doing. And so it's just kind of trying to blend those things together and find what will work so that we don't have to give up everything, some of those other things.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because of course it is a huge change to move on to a boat and live on a boat, but it doesn't mean that absolutely everything in your life should change, especially things that give you joy and you want to hang on to, like staying healthy. Mm-hmm. These kind of things that are part of your life forever, you know, you don't need to throw them out the window just because you now live on a sailboat, right? So you have some exciting plans ahead, heading south, figuring out all that, new countries and all that fun stuff. And you said that you've documented the purchase process on your YouTube channel. So where can people go and follow you guys' journey online, all the past adventures and future ones?
Yeah, so we have an Instagram account that's just Erin and Janet Saline. And we also have our YouTube channel, which is the same, Erin and Janet Saline. And we document everything that we're doing on a weekly basis. So we upload videos and we're pretty current. Most of the content that we post is just a week or two be delayed from when we actually filmed it. So we try to stay really current, but we had a lot of people interested in the whole boat buying process, which was really exciting. And now we're getting, you know, we're doing some longer term living on the boat week at a time stretches. So lots of good stuff going on.
Thank you for sharing your story and this perspective on buying a new boat with me today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
There you have it. A little insight into buying a new boat straight from the factory. I hope you enjoyed the story. And as always, thank you for listening. Next week, it's time for another sailing story. This time, something completely different. So stay tuned. And bye for now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.